Being an entrepreneur is not easy.
We know firsthand how chasing a vision while grasping for stability can bring even peak performers to their knees.
Listen up, because the Tony G Show is all about destroying excuses and eliminating blind spots.
Handing you the keys to rapid, lasting momentum in your life, health, and business.
And now, your host, Tony Grebmeier.
Episode 75 of the Tony G Show. Our special guest today was introduced a couple years ago from a past guest of the Tony G Show, Dr. Charles Livingston. I met Hamida in Las Vegas with Charles. We had dinner. It was a great conversation. One thing led to another. I learned a lot about what she does and how well connected she is in the industry, and just an amazing human being with a big heart to help people. And she knows LinkedIn like the back of her hand. She knows how to, you know, create more opportunities for your business through lead generation. And I'm not even doing it justice. I just want to jump right into our candid interview today with my good friend, Hamida Cortez.
Hey, it is Tony G coming to you live from Las Vegas. We are going to attempt to do a Mevo podcast. We have a special guest today, Hamida Cortez. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, Tony. How are you?
Fantastic. So we're going to attempt with Mevo to do an amazing podcast episode. We'll turn the audio into an iTunes download, and then we'll upload this to YouTube for the world to see, and also maybe on Facebook. We sit here in a Wynn hotel room just chatting and catching up a little bit, we got introduced by Charles Livingston a couple of years back. We've had a chance to chat. You have a special talent. Most people get to the internet and then are overwhelmed by how many different avenues there are to actually launch social media campaigns, build a profile, build a business. And I think you tackled, if not one of the toughest verticals when it comes to the business world, which is LinkedIn. I get on LinkedIn and I get scared. I want to run for the hills. Can you tell me a little bit about LinkedIn and maybe your background? You know, give us your background and then tell us a little bit about what you do on LinkedIn, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you how it all started. It's really funny that you say it's one of the most difficult ones. I tend to always pick the most difficult things to do, not like on purpose. It's just what happens. But what happened was, I started doing SEO back in 2009. I got really good at it. So I figured in 2012, I was like, you know what? I'm going to start my own business. It's going to be amazing. I'm really good at what I do. So I'm going to make a ton of money. So I leave my job, I start the company, and 6 months go by, and guess how many clients I got?
How many?
One. So I'm like, okay, well, this is certainly not going to pay the bills. And I was living in Los Angeles at the time. And so, you know, I start looking for a marketing job again. And that's like I wasn't trying. I was going to business networking events and doing all kinds of stuff. And so I'm on LinkedIn because I'm looking for a job. And at the time, my target audience were doctors and lawyers. And I'm like, wow, there's thousands upon thousands of doctors and attorneys here on LinkedIn. If I could just connect with them and get on the phone with them, I know somebody's going to want to hire me for SEO. I'm really good at what I do. Within literally 2 weeks of connecting with lawyers and having conversations, I got my next client. And so after that, I was like, wow, that was way easier than anything else I was doing.
And then you didn't have to go to work. You didn't do anything. You could just stay in the comfort of your own home.
I was in my pajamas. I was talking to people. That client is still a client today. And that's how I was able to grow the company. And so fast forward to now, because of that, you know, what I noticed when I started going to a lot of internet marketing events and things like that, there's a lot of people that are very intelligent, but most of them don't know LinkedIn at all. And I'm like, well, that's how I've been getting all of my clients, you know, besides the referrals I get. So that really led to creating an online training, teaching people what I was doing. And now it's also led into a done-for-you service for people that they want somebody to do it for them. We handle that as well.
All right, let's talk a little bit about your done-for-you. It's interesting. 2009 until 2017, the client's still with you. That says a lot about...
2012 is when I started the company.
Oh, 2012. All right. Yeah. No matter what, 5 years to be with you, there's something special, right? There's something unique about you. I know you just got back from a marketing cruise. What's it called?
Internet Marketers Cruise.
All right. So why I'm saying it is because you're connected to a lot of people that I'm connected with on the internet, and it's just amazing all your talents and the services you can do. Talk a little bit about your done-for-you business.
Sure. So on the LinkedIn side, we're basically connecting you with the people that you need to do business with to get you from here to there. So for most of our clients, that's they want more clients. So we're reaching out to people that are going to buy their products and services. But I also want to make the point that it's not necessarily always clients that you might want to get on LinkedIn. You might want to do a campaign and try to find people that could promote you, like a joint venture partner, investors even. But most of the campaigns that we run are we're getting appointments for our clients. So, you know, once we're able to dial in a campaign, we're able to get anywhere from 15 to 20 appointments per month. Now, that might not sound like a lot, but let me tell you, when we're targeting the CEOs of a hospital, 10 of those people in 1 month is quite a bit to somebody in that industry, because those are very difficult people to get to. So we've discovered a way to really be able to connect with people that are otherwise almost impossible to get them interested in wanting to have a conversation with our clients.
No, I get that. I mean, you mentioned 10, 15. I mean, that's a lot.
Yeah.
I know in my industry, that's a lot of leads for a specific sector.
When one can be worth so much.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What are some of the challenges you've been facing over the years of building this business to where it's at today?
Well, I guess the number one challenge would be employees, because everything that we do is very labor intensive. So always being able to find the right people and train them and keep them happy and all that has always been the number one challenge. But I've got somebody in place that's really good right now that's handling that challenge, so it's off my plate.
No, I agree. I think culture is hard.
Yeah.
Are these people working in an office with you, or are they all remote?
No, they're all remote. They train with me in my house, and then they go once they're trained there at their house. But we are going to be changing that here pretty soon. My project manager is making me get an office, which I don't want to get, but we have to.
No, and I think there'll be something challenging about getting in an office. I mean, there was a photo running around the internet a while ago. Apple, Microsoft, Google. You talk about HP, all these big companies, they all started in a garage.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something magical about getting out of your kind of your environment into an office. It takes your business and your mindset to the next level. I do know a lot of entrepreneurs and business owners that are happy in their home.
Yeah.
There's something cool about literally leaving and going to something that you've created, because you don't appreciate it as much as when you're in your own home. I think there's something magical about getting out of that kind of an element. And then I'm trusting your project manager knows what he's talking about, because literally you are stinking talented, and I imagine you're going to fill it up with just amazing people really, really quick, and then you'll be able to scale this even more.
Thank you.
Let's talk a little bit about sales for you. What is sales like for you personally? Like, do you enjoy being on the calls trying to close the deals, or is that something that you'd love to get away from?
You know, I do enjoy it, but I know that's not something that is scalable, because I'm one person.
Sure.
And if you look at real companies that are making, you know, millions of dollars, they have teams, and they have sales teams. It's not one person that the owner making all the calls. You do that as long as you have to, and then you go to the next level. So, you know, I've been handling the sales for a long time. I've tried hiring people before. It didn't work out too well. But now, like I said, we've got some really good stuff in place. So, and a really script that works really well now. So I'm excited to get that off my plate pretty soon.
A script that works really, really well. I've been trying to think, because that was one of the things that I went on LinkedIn to try to find verticals such in the supplement industry for people to partner with. I found it so difficult, and we've had many conversations. You're like, yes, because Tony, you're looking at it all wrong. This is what you should be doing. And I'm like, yeah, it totally makes total sense. What are some of the problems that you face when working to generate leads for your customers on LinkedIn? Like, what are some of the things that you face?
Really, the only challenge is when LinkedIn makes a change. That obviously affects us. They made some big changes in December, completely changed the way that it looks. Personally, I don't like it, but you got to work with what you got. So,
sure.
But everything's still working fine. It's just some functionality is gone. But when they take things away or they add things, we just figure out how that fits into what we're doing and, you know, change our strategy around it so that we can still deliver results.
When you're not, you know, smack dab in the middle of LinkedIn generating leads for your customers and taking on new customers, what do you love doing?
Traveling. I travel quite a bit. I traveled, probably the most I've ever traveled was last year. I hit so many places that were on my bucket list.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Dubai. I lived in Europe the entire summer. Then I came back here, and then I went back to Europe for a week, and now I'm here. I just got back from that cruise, but now I'm trying to stay put at least for a couple of months, if possible.
I love it. Tell the story, because I think it's just fascinating. You live here in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
You sell all your, basically everything that you need to pack up and put your stuff away. And then you move overseas. You spend your time overseas. And then you get to what? You get to come back to Las Vegas, and where do you move back into?
Okay, this is hilarious. So, well, I put all my stuff in storage when I left, thinking I'm going to be gone for God knows how long. That's what I was thinking in my head. I was just going to, you know, I have an online business, so as long as I can have an internet connection, I figured, why not try to be a digital nomad and see what that's all about? You know, people talk about it, it's all the rage. So I'm like, I'm going to do it. So I do it. I let go of my amazing, gorgeous high-rise here that I absolutely love, and I'm like dying over this apartment every time I'm in Europe. And I come back to Vegas. Nobody has rented my apartment, so I literally move right back into the exact same unit, same place, same everything.
That's a crazy story. If you really think about it, you leave. How long were you gone?
I was gone 3.5 months.
Yeah, and see, Vegas now, on the other hand, is like hot. It's jumping again. So to think, like, we have a buddy of mine, Glenn, in the room with us, just to think about, like, to leave and to come back and it's all still there. It was totally meant for you to come back.
I don't think I was meant to leave, because I felt like when I left, like, so many things fell apart. And then coming back and putting, like, my life back together was so easy. But I felt like maybe the universe or something was saying, no, you need to stay here, and this is where you need to live, and just stay.
Now, how's business so far, first quarter 2017?
Amazing. Yeah. Really, really good. Yeah.
So what changed besides maybe your focus? What else do you think
changed? That's the main thing that changed. I really got more focused on business, less focused on hanging out with friends and having fun. I mean, that's all great, but right now I'm really focused on hitting certain numbers and scaling, and so I'm putting all the work in place that needs to happen to do that.
Did you spend a lot of time, like, structuring and planning out your goals, or?
I spent the last week of 2016 doing that, and I wrote out to, like, the dollar amount how much I need to make each month to make it happen.
Now we're talking. Now this is the kind of stuff that I'm into. So let's talk. I won't make you say your goals, but I think there's something cool about speaking your goals into existence. I have a really simple framework that in my head, it's fantasy. When I speak it, it becomes possibility. And then there's a gap in between that and reality. And the gap is what we spend our time working towards. Like, we literally play the game Chutes and Ladders. We're going, and we fall down, and then we climb back up the ladder, and then we're going again and fall back down. Tell us, like, some of the things in this gap this year that you see that are completely different than in years past for helping you to get to where you want to go.
Really, my focus is the number one thing, but the fact that I'm so adamant about making sure that I stay on track of hitting the numbers. So one of the things that I do is, so I wrote out my projections of what I need to make each month to get to everything, how many clients that needs to be, how many leads that needs to be, how much we need to close, all that stuff. So it's all written out. So I look at it every morning before I start my day, because I know if by this time, if we're not hitting that number, we have to work twice as hard, or we need to, you know, do some things to hit the numbers. So I'm proud to say we didn't hit the January number to the T, but we got pretty darn close.
Now, was that number something that scared you, or was that just like a hurdle that was, like, easy for you to step over? I want to know, like, how far of a, like...
No, it wasn't a number that scared me.
Challenge. Come on. Let's get a number that scares you.
The number that scares me is the number I'm going to have at the end of the year. That number is definitely big, but I know that I can't grow too fast, because then the quality of our services are going to suffer for the clients, and we can't let that happen. So I know at what rate I am comfortable growing, so that the clients stay, they're happy, they get a good service, they get a good return on investment, and we're still growing the company at a rate that I'm not going to pull my hair out.
Right. Yeah, because you were talking about project manager and earlier about, you know, helping to have somebody else come in and do some of the sales where you can kind of manage the business.
Right.
I think that's been one of the biggest things that I've seen over the last couple of years, is not stepping back,
right,
but just taking a different view at the business.
Right.
So, you know, I'm fascinated. Like, one of the things that has always scared me about LinkedIn is that I feel like when I want to go learn about somebody, I go and check out their profile, and the next thing I know, they know that I'm checking them out. Is that still, like, the way it is on LinkedIn?
Yeah.
Is there any way to get around that? Is there any way, like, I don't want to, like, voyeuristic, like, stalk somebody, but I do sometimes, if we're hiring somebody, I love to see their profiles. I love to, that's another great hiring tool. I learned that recently on Facebook.
You know, so I haven't tried to do this recently, so I have to check with the new layout if they still have that functionality or not, but you were able to make yourself anonymous. That means that you can't see who's viewing you either. Mm. So it just depends. I always left it open because I wanted to be nosy and see who was checking me out.
Do you spend a lot? Do you spend a lot of time looking at people that you're going to work with, their profile on LinkedIn prior to, like, maybe even hiring them, just to kind of see?
Yeah, for sure. I want to make sure that it matches the resume that they sent me. Number one.
Yeah.
You know, And we do check people's social media profiles to see what kind of person we're going to be dealing with, see if their personality is going to be what we're looking for.
Yeah, recently I got pretty deep into Facebook, and I know we're just deviating from LinkedIn, but we're friends on Facebook too. So I was hiring somebody, and I literally was, I you know, you search their name and you look their profile up, and the first thing they see in a photo is they're flipping somebody off, and you're like, no. So you go and grab another one, you throw it in, and you're like, this one looks all good on the surface. And then I was hiring an executive assistant, and then you go to their likes, and you start seeing all the things that they like, and you're like, that does not line up with the resume they just submitted, the cover letter they just sent over. You're like, okay, wait. And that's the interesting part about submitting something on social media. It looks good, but you're doing a deep dive. You're really looking and checking behind the scenes to try to figure out as much as you can before you bring somebody on. And then what do you do around a business that you're going to go and start working for, right? Like I, over the years, everybody sounds good. Like, oh, we're going to do lots of money. And then they owe me tons of money and then pay their bills. So how do you use LinkedIn on the other side to protect yourself?
I mean, with LinkedIn, you're really limited as to what you can see. I mean, you're basically looking at their work experience, if they've made any posts, and that's basically it. So if you're going to go down deeper, you really do have to check Facebook. Yeah. That's their personality. LinkedIn is the place where you put kind of like your best foot forward. So that's what we do for our clients, is we'll rewrite their profile, not so much like a resume, but to be more like a sales letter.
Sure.
So, I can't tell you how many times I work with so many incredibly successful people, and then you go to their LinkedIn profile, it's got like three words, and you're just like, okay, so if you contacted me on LinkedIn, I would probably say no, because there's nothing there. But then when we start writing out the story of what they've done, then they look a lot better. So as far as like for snooping around for employees, I would still check like Twitter and Facebook. But if you want to look at somebody's accomplishments, if sure. they wrote their profile right, or if they're my client, then...
If they're your client, they've done it right. Are you over there checking your LinkedIn profile?
What LinkedIn profile?
You don't have a LinkedIn profile?
No.
All right. So we're going to get somebody on LinkedIn after this episode today. Give me a little bit about your routine, just kind of your work-life habits, kind of like how you get up in the morning, you're thinking about getting into an office. How do you have all this time? You have so much energy. I offered you some coffee and you're like, no, I've had a double shot of espresso. It's 5 o'clock in the afternoon. You are bubbly. You're excited. You're ready to rock the rest of the evening. Like, tell me when you wake up, tell me a little bit about your work-life balance, and then tell me like how you fit in fun in Las Vegas.
Okay, so I usually wake up. I have this thing where I used to wake up with like an alarm, but now it's just when my eyes open. So that's when I'm ready to wake up.
Wow. I like that. Take notes.
So once my eyes open, they're funny, they kind of open at the same time every day, though. It's usually around 6:45. I kind of linger in bed for like 15 minutes, like, oh, okay, I think I finally get out.
That's crazy. I don't know if I could do that. I would fall back to sleep.
I'll usually, work out and then have my breakfast. I'll do my meditations, and the meditation includes looking at the numbers and things that we need to do. We need to hit to get that. And then I just start my day. My days are pretty scheduled out. Like, I know all the meetings that I have scheduled. You can't schedule a meeting with me the day of. Everything's like scheduled, pre-done.
Rockstar right there, Glenn. Take notes.
Unless it's somebody really important.
Then they can get on your schedule.
Yeah, but usually no. Like, I send somebody my calendar, they book themselves, much like you do, and then that's it. And then I go through my day. If I have to write copy, I usually will do that in the morning. So I take the meetings in the afternoon and then talk to employees, whatever like things we're doing. And then that's it. I meet with my team twice a week. To go over all the
clients. You use like Zoom? How do you meet?
We use Skype right now.
No, I think it's important. I mean, the one thing why I wanted to have you on, you're a power female, you're doing amazing stuff, but you're also kind of like ahead of the curve in a lot of ways. I did admire last year, I was telling my wife, I was in Positano and you're like, where is this spot? I'm like, oh, it's in Mossa Lebrense. And you're like, oh, I want to go there. Yeah. You're just somebody who has that clear cut vision. You know where you're going. And so I can't wait to talk to you again in 2018 and look back and see how you just crushed 2017. Because
I love that.
The one thing that you're super sharp is that you definitely know where you're going.
Yeah, and I think that that's really one of the big keys to success, is that a lot of people say, oh, I want to have, this big house. It's like, okay, well, what value are you going to provide to get that? And then what are you going to do? So I've always been the kind of person where if I get something in my head, I have to do it. That's why I went to Europe this summer. I was like, I think I'd be really fabulous.
Do you think you obsess over it? Like, is it
kind of?
Is it something like, I do this, my business partners don't like it. I'll like, I want this. And they're like, what do you want? I'm like, I want to paint the office a certain way. They're like, well, you already have 10 other things. I'm like, this needs to go to number one and those need to go to the bottom. And like, and I won't stop until the painters are hired and we're doing it. Are you like that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to tell you how proud I am of you, how awesome it is. I want the audience to literally be able to connect with you, maybe your project manager, so that you can go do your other stuff and you can let people at your company take care of it. But how do people get in contact with you?
I mean, the best thing to do is just go to our website, wizardmedia.net, and you can contact us from there. Or just connect with me on LinkedIn. I mean, my name on LinkedIn is just LinkedIn/IN/Jimena Cortez. So we can put a link on it. I don't know if we can.
Yeah, we can definitely put a link for you. And then last thing that I want to leave you with, what's one quote or motivational saying that really just kind of gets you going when you see it?
I don't know. I guess, oh, there's one I posted on Facebook recently where it was like, if it doesn't make me better, if it doesn't make me happy and it doesn't make me money, I don't have time for it.
So true. So true. Well, you're a rock star, and I just want to say thanks. It's awesome getting to know you over the years, seeing what you can do.
Yeah.
If you're looking for somebody who's just freaking amazing at LinkedIn, can generate you tons of business and new leads, but somebody who is just a great person to have in your corner to help you when you're looking at like how to scale your business and generate new leads, this is the person to have. So make sure you get in touch. Say your name one more time.
Jimena Cortez.
I'm never going to say it as beautiful as that. So until next time, it's the Tony G Show. Make today the best day of your life.
Thanks for your company. We hope you've been inspired. Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And go to www.tonygshow.com for even more tools for success.
Audio editing and show notes by podcastfasttrack.com. Get 15% off your first month by mentioning this show.